How you doing? It's been a while since I spoke to you. I'm so glad I've reached out to you. Thanks for coming on to join me here today for a conversation for our Curious World.
Okay, yeah, thanks for inviting me to come and talk.
Now, like I said, I reached out to you, as I said before, because I wanted to. I was inspired by your work with what you've got going on in the community and your community education projects. And I think it's really vital to talk about those things, because often they just sit there on Facebook walls or whatever. And a lot of that kind of thing where there is actually an outreach to people. Doesn't get seen very often. So I was like, Lorna, I know you. I want to reach out. I wanted to talk to you about that. So how what's behind this? What inspired you to create your project called Just Breathe, where you're talking in the community?
Okay, well, the Just Breathe workshops are the first stage of a business idea which I'm just launching, and the idea is to basically give people a chance to learn more about vocal health, and in particular breath and how the breath links to the voice. Personally, in my past, I've had a lot of problems with throat problems or losing my voice, that kind of thing. And I
So,
just went to see doctor after doctor, and half of them just didn't seem to know anything about the breathing system or the voice system, so they couldn't actually help me.
that's really interesting, actually. So, do you think that for a lot of singers, then, is that like a regular occurrence that they would experience like vocal issues, or is that actually something they can do it? Is it do people take medication for it? Do people take, or is it, in your case, I guess you're talking about breathing exercises. What was the best fix that a lot of those doctors told you?
Well, none of the doctors actually did tell me anything. I ended up actually paying privately to see a vocal health specialist, and I also went to a workshop which was run by the British Voice Association, and that actually taught me the science behind it and how if you actually breathe properly, in inverted commas, that you can actually alleviate a range of voice problems. And a lot of famous singers, you hear them saying that they've had to go into hospital and they've had vocal nodules or they cancel tours and all this kind of stuff. I even watch things like, not very often, but like The Voice TV talent show, and I see singers doing really, really unhealthy techniques. And I just think, why doesn't someone in the BBC recognise this and, give them a bit of coaching, because they're meant to get coaching as part of the show.
Yeah, so that's an important part, isn't it? So, do you think then a lot of young talent who come through the business, or the big up and coming singers and talent, say even musicians as well, ones who say who use wind instruments, is that something that they can also incorporate into theirs too?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people who play clarinet and things like that, I think they get sometimes better training than singers, because some people I've met who said they've had singing lessons and they paid a lot of money for the singing lessons actually haven't been taught proper breathing technique. But people I've met who play flute or clarinet, if you ask them about diaphragmatic breathing or circular breathing, then they often know more about it than singers, which is quite ironic,
It
really.
is. You know what? I'm getting a memory. I got a good friend called Darren Tyler. He was the guy I went to school with in my primary and secondary school, and he was in a brass band. You know, he got a bit of ribbon about it at school. But I tell you what, obviously he went to join the armed forces, and he's a good friend of mine on Facebook, and he's mentioned that exact same thing as you just did there, where he used to play the horn and the clarinet as part of the brass band and part of the military band as well. And he always spoke about it. It's all about breathing. It's all about your technique from your diaphragm.
Yeah.
And he used to say the same thing, that when he went to do music training, he didn't learn that there, but he learned that through learning to play the instrument instead.
Yeah, I think for example, if you said to most people, take a breath in, the first thing that would happen, in about 80% of people that I've encountered, if you say take a breath in, they go, and then their shoulders go up, and that's the worst possible way you can breathe. When you breathe, and if you breathe naturally and correctly, your shoulders shouldn't move. It should all happen. If you imagine your lungs are shaped like a pear and they're fatter at the bottom,
Okay.
it should be the bottom half of the lungs that expand, and there shouldn't be any tension around here or no movement in the shoulders. But a lot of people don't realize this. So that's one of the main reasons why I'm doing the community workshops, is I think if more people could breathe properly, then not only could it help their voice, it could help a range of things like health,
I was
anxiety.
going to say about, so okay, I can imagine that that would encourage, I guess, a change in posture as well. That would encourage, I guess, the way it would hold themselves better. So if you are a professional speaker, like I'm endeavouring to be, I could also benefit from that too, because I project really well. But I'm under the impression that a lot of people out there who are DJs and musicians and perhaps don't know those postures, and breath actually is incredibly important behind that. So it's part of the reason I reached out to you, and I was like, you're exactly the person I need to speak to. So here we are.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, currently the introductory workshops, I'm doing them at a really low price as well, because the workshop that I went on with the British Voice Association actually cost £50 and I had to
Wow.
travel down to London. But what they're saying is quite basic stuff, but most people couldn't afford to go to something like that. And I'd say 95% of people aren't just going to sit down one day and say, oh, do you know what? I'm going to Google how the diaphragm works and how to breathe, because they don't think that they're doing it wrong. So, yeah, that's why I'm doing
I
the workshop.
suppose not. So what do you think has to change in their mindset? You know, because if I guess if they don't know they're doing it wrong, they wouldn't essentially know how to fix it at all, except apart from their ill health.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the issues I'm trying to overcome at the moment, which is why it's fantastic that you've invited me to come and talk, because yeah, it's getting the word out there to people that something as simple as breathing could actually be causing them all sorts of problems, like I said before, from anxiety to tiredness even, because you're not getting enough oxygen, and mainly vocal issues as well. So it's getting the word out there that breath is important and that there could be a different way of doing it, which is more efficient and better than the way you're doing it now.
Yeah, I said a little bit of experience there. So I used to teach martial arts. I used to teach kickboxing and taekwondo, and when I was in my late teens and into early 20s, and that one of the part of the problems we found was that people would be very tired very quickly. So and you're teaching people who are very young how to deal with essentially with a combat situation or with a self-defense situation, and they're exhausted very quickly. And I think you know potentially that you have an element there of education to also pass into other fields, not necessarily music as well, but like I said, to acting, to performance, to martial arts, to there's lots of different people who would really benefit from the kind of things that you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I had one person who came to one of my workshops, and since then he's been having some private vocal lessons, and he actually commented that he can jog now without getting out of breath. And he used to go jogging and really struggle, but since he's learnt the diaphragmatic breathing, he said, according to him, he can jog all evening and he has way more energy, doesn't get tired. So yeah, so it's really benefited him in all sorts of areas of his life.
So does it include like say is it holding your breath in but holding it within you? Because a lot of my martial artist instructors would teach that is that as you're actually talking, what you're really doing, you're still actually holding oxygen within you as you talk. So you're essentially you're filling what is already there. Is that right? Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much exactly it. So when you breathe in, you inflate your lungs, and your lungs kind of act as a cushion for the voice. So it's almost like you're holding your breath. So now, as I'm speaking, I'm actually like the diaphragm is this shape, and I'm actually flattening it. So the bottom half of my lungs is pushed out, and that's what's supporting my voice. So yeah, that's correct.
Excellent. I just don't know, at least I know I'm on the right track with that.
Yeah,
So
definitely.
no, it's good. So what do you, who would benefit most, do you think? So would it be, so is your target audience going to be the musicians? Is that what you're lining up your workshops for?
Well, being a singer myself and having yeah, background experience in singing, that's originally when I first heard of the diaphragm and why I first got into this kind of breathing. But the workshops, it's just for anyone really, anyone who doesn't know much. If you don't know what the diaphragm is, then I would say definitely come along.
Okay.
Because a lot of I've had all sorts of feedback. I've had people from all sorts of backgrounds who've come to the workshops, and I mean, people. One person said, I can't believe I've, I'm in my 50s and I've been doing this wrong for my whole life,
50
and
years. 50 years
there's
of
such a thing
breathing
as a
correctly.
life.
Wow, that's pretty crazy when you think about it, isn't it? That for 50 years they've potentially been breathing wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's to do with all sorts of things, like the fact that, I mean, babies breathe correctly because they're just lying down all day, and if I get people to lie on their backs and breathe in, then normally they do it correctly. But the minute you get someone to stand up, that's when the shoulders get involved and the wrong neck muscles and all that kind of things. So, yeah, my
So
workshop's aiming to correct
I was
that.
going to say, so what's the best way? So if you were to come along to one of your sessions, what would be the best way to teach someone about? Would it be please come along to a Launa session? Would it be could you show something that would really benefit someone really easily?
Yeah, I guess the main thing is just the idea of breathing down. So something that people could try at home is if you lie on your back and you just gently place your hands just slightly above where the belly button is,
Okay.
and then as you breathe in, you should feel your hands, you know, pushing forward with the breath. And then stand up and try to recreate that and see how difficult you find it. Because the minute your shoulders start moving, that's when you need to lie back down again, really focus on how it feels, and then stand up again.
What
But yeah,
causes
in the
the
workshops, we do some other activities and exercises that can help.
what causes the shoulders to actually rise then? I mean, 'cause if it's not part of the actual breathing mechanism, what would cause a person to breathe in and actually raise their shoulders?
It's to do with shallow breathing. So obviously, the top half of the lungs are thinner. But most people breathe up here. So as you breathe into the top half of the lungs, because they're so small, there isn't enough space. But then the body's trying to make space, so then everything around it also tries to lift upwards and outwards.
Okay.
Whereas if you're breathing into the bottom half of the lungs, which is the bigger bit, then nothing's going to move up here.
Okay, I think I can imagine that mentally in my head. That resonates with what I kind of already know and feel. But you know, I think I might go give that a try after I've had a conversation with you. But that's pretty amazing how if you are. Again, I'm just thinking of my conversation with Darren when he's telling me he says that your lungs almost would change shape slightly when as you do deeper breathing. Actually, they allow themselves to contain much more air. Now, he told me also that he does a lot of swimming, and that incredibly helped him a lot with doing like diving and so on.
Yeah, definitely. I've actually recommended to some of my singing students when I teach singing lessons as well that they take up swimming or jogging because any kind of exercise is going to help increase your lung capacity. But if you've spent years breathing into the top bit of your lungs, then the bottom bit of your lungs, probably the muscles are quite constricted. So initially, when people learn to use those muscles, they say it feels a massive strain, and sometimes people are actually shaking.
Oh, really?
But that's normal. It's the same as if you tried to do a press up and your arms were shaking. It's just because you've not used the muscles
Oh, is it
before.
because you're using essentially muscles in a different way that hasn't been done before, and your body's going, "What is going on here?"
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't mean don't do it, because if your arms shake when you do a press up, that doesn't mean you should just give up doing press ups. It
No, you
means you
should
should go
carry
up.
on. That's sometimes the best part to work through. So you talked about like yourself as a singer. Well, what got you into singing? Was that a family thing, or was that something you were led into?
I think music's always been quite an important thing for me. But particularly with songs, I'm the kind of person that listens to the lyrics, basically.
Yeah, me too. Music today, I guess, is a point we could talk about because obviously you know where I work. But I hear the same music with the same kind of simple rhythms, a very, very basic understanding of lyrics and words. But they're really catchy because they're so simple to pick up. And I think that's the reason why they're so popular. But in terms of depth of a song, which I still think is a song really should be about poetry, telling a story, a method of which to portray, communicate something, communicate an idea that's actually passed on. But music today appears to be very, very simple, very base level. And do you find that yourself?
That's the problem I have with a lot of music. People just hear the beat, but they don't actually listen to what's being said. But to me, what I get out of music is self-expression. So what's actually being said and the words are really important. And that's also why I'm so interested in the voice, because the voice is how we express ourselves to the world, and singing to me is just an extension of that.
So are you a songwriter as well, is that right?
I write songs,
So when I've heard you sing, I hear a very Kate Bush sound from you. I guess that's intentional because I'm sure she's one of your inspirations. So.
I really like Kate Bush and Tori Amos. I've been told I sound like Tori Amos a few times, but I listen to them both a lot, so it makes
It
sense.
does because I guess you always resonate with what sounds right to you. And as you grow up, I mean, my mother used to sing when I was a child, so that always gave me a bit of an ear for these different kinds of music. And I grew up listening to lots of different varieties and sounds, so I always have an appreciation of the depth of this of character within song. And as I've grown up, I've kind of almost resent modern music, and I kind of wonder is that what happened? You know, do you like during the 60s and 70s when they hated rock and roll, and then it was loved. And then as through the 80s that they detested like the early 70s kind of rock, there's this kind of like dislike of the previous generation of music. It's almost like a campaign against it in many ways. And then actually what happens is I start listening to it again and going, no, actually that was quite good. So what's your music like going forward then? Are you going to continue to be a singer with your style? Are you putting out singles and EPs and so on?
Well, I've actually recently formed a band, but
Oh, excellent.
we don't really have a name at the moment. I think the unofficial name is for some reason Pool Music, because my name's Lorna Pool, and so one of the band members just called it Pool Music, but it's not going to be called that in the future.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a bit of Bon Jovi, you know, how the whole band's named after him, so therefore if anyone else leaves, no one knows. So yeah, get a name that actually is more encompassing, I guess.
Yeah, we definitely want a name, we just haven't thought of one. And yeah, I haven't really put any of my music online for quite a while, and part of the reason for me choosing not to do that was because I actually did get quite bad throat problems. That was quite a few years ago, but that was around the time when I had to see the throat specialist and everything like that. And I had pretty much chronic laryngitis because my larynx was just irritated all the time. And the reason for that was because I wasn't using my diaphragm properly. I thought I was because I'd had singing lessons and stuff, but yeah, I actually wasn't.
What speaks to me there a little bit is that you hear a lot of people who have like tonsillitis a lot, and I kind of
Yeah.
wonder if that might be actually be might tie into that quite strongly, is people aren't perhaps breathing properly and then that's resonating through the wrong parts or whatever, if that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, with me it was laryngitis, which is the larynx, but laryngitis, you can get that from dust allergies, exposure to smoke, certain chemicals. It's very much respiratory. But if your voice is very breathy, and if you're using the wrong muscles here, and you're like half the time, then especially I worry for breathy singers, because now I recognize what that does to your vocal cords and stuff. And yeah, it's not a good idea. So I've kind of taken a few years out, built my voice up again. And yeah, when I release the new demos, it'll be interesting to see what you think of them, because I've shown a very rough recording to a friend, and she said, "Oh, you sound completely different." So.
I was going to say, have you had the opportunity to perhaps listen to some of your older music now and go, wow, that's so different. That's not how I sound at all today.
Yeah, I mean, I like the older music, and the style was quite unique, but I can recognize in my voice that it's not a healthy sound, and I know now, yeah, what a healthy sound is, and most singers don't have it actually. It's very difficult to get that sound,
Yeah,
so.
when you get the key and you know what you're looking for, it's like it's, again, I've been a martial artist back in the day, and you can see when people's technique is slightly off, and you don't want to critique them, but actually you go with a few pointers here, there, actually you'd do great. And it's the same with the presenting, it's the same with speaking, it's where how presentations come across. It literally is that those little details will make a huge difference to the outcome. So I guess I really resonate with what you're saying there.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So your classes then, so Just Breathe, so you've been running it now for how long?
It's probably been about 3 months now,
Okay.
maybe 4. So I've been trying to run them just initially just 1 a month, just to see what the interest was, and it was kind of interesting to me whether the same people would come back. And I have found that I do have some core people who come back every month, and they're really dedicated. But then I also have a turnover of new people who just come once, and then they get what they need, and then they don't
I
need
was
it
going to
anymore.
say, well, I wonder if there's an interesting turnover where people who actually, they instantly, it clicks with them straight away. It's not that they don't want to come back, it's just like, I've learned everything I need, and now I can flourish and do what I need to do, but I'll come and say thanks. So I kind of wonder, would there be a rapid turnover of lots of new people, particularly if what you're teaching is very, very simple and very good and very structured, that they could instantly recognize in themselves the change they've made, and then going, I've learned that now. That's my lesson's done. I can move on. And I guess you would find people who are, you know, they're trying to get it perfect.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So how long are you so you've run it for 4 months now. So how what's the kind of popularity, what's the kind of feedback you're getting?
I've had some really great feedback actually. Yeah, I had one person who said that she actually sent me an email after the workshop, and her partner, her husband, had said, "Oh wow, your voice sounds completely different. You sound really assertive now." So
Well, I think that word assertive is actually, it comes from confidence, doesn't it? And confidence actually comes from how you present yourself. So you've got an opportunity there with business, with those who make it a part of their job to actually speak out and speak loudly and speak clearly. And assertiveness is a prime seller, you know. I guess perhaps there's an opportunity there to actually approach businesses and go, are you guys assertive, yeah? Or are you just sellers? Are you just doing little things that here's these little tweaks you can do? So actually, that you've got a lot of opportunity to spread out and actually to teach lots of different people this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so other positive feedback I had, one person say, she said, "Oh, I feel like I've just had a shoulder massage because as you breathe properly with the diaphragm, it actually unlocks tension in your shoulders and neck. So it's also good for relaxation." But yeah, in terms of businesses, I recently went to a business networking event and each person had to stand up and say a bit about the business. And it was quite a big room, but most people weren't projecting their voices properly, or a couple of people, I could see the muscles in their neck going, oh, as they tried to shout across the hall. And yeah, so I think in all kinds of business, it'd be really useful if you knew how to speak in an effective way.
Yeah, because it's not about just it's about your poise as well. If your stance is correct and the way you project is much clearer, that make a huge difference to a lot of people.
Yeah, we do quite a few postural exercises, and we always start off every workshop with stretching, and it's a bit like, yeah, a bit like yoga or like exercise warm-ups. We do a lot of, yeah, a lot of stretching and that kind of thing.
I've taken up yoga over the last year or so, and it bugs me, right? So, with yogic practices and with yoga positions, and I'm doing with that dynamic resistance. So it's called the DDPY system. It's really good, but I never seem to be able to find that half an hour to put down and actually dedicate myself to doing it. Yet when I do it, I come away from it feeling absolutely fantastic, and I keep kicking myself that I don't do it enough. So are you doing kind of yogic practices with your breathing? Is that right?
Yeah, so the breathing that I do in the workshops is quite a few people who come actually say, oh, this is what we do in yoga. But a lot of them say, oh, this is what we do in yoga, but I didn't really understand it until now because the teachers say stuff like, breathe into your belly and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, you can't breathe into your stomach, so
No,
that's
so I
the
guess
best
you're
way of
pulling
describing it.
down, aren't you, so?
Yeah, or they'll just say, breathe out or push down, and they use all these vague terms. So yeah, I think it is definitely linked, but my workshop really explains the science behind it and goes into a lot more detail so that people can completely understand what they're meant to be doing.
Because sort of from a health perspective, and that it's fantastic, really, to hear how people can make that change to themselves and the effect it would have on, if you can imagine, like a network system. I'm learning something, can I pass it on, and this is how we did it. You can have quite a rollover of a lot of successes here.
Yeah, definitely. And thinking it would be also good maybe to do a children's version because yeah, I always hear children, screaming, and I used to teach at a primary school. I taught music lessons there for a while, and yeah, some of the way the children were just like screaming or using their voices. Or what always gets me is when they put on a school concert and the teachers say "sing it up" and then the children just shout. That's really bad.
Yeah, I was in primary school, I was always the one who wanted to perform, but I always found myself in a kind of minor role. And then, like in year five, I got to play Danny in Greece, and I got a lot out of that. Not because the production was great, it's just I felt like I was in the right position I should have been, and I felt really good in that, and I really wanted to take that as a role. But life took me in a thousand different directions. I didn't quite get to go down the performance line I think perhaps I should have done.
Oh, there's still time.
There really is, actually. There really is still time to do these things. I might go join an AmDrams group, which many friends of mine appear to be that way, so we'll go down the amateur dramatics line.
Yeah.
Man, so that's been pretty awesome, actually, today. I'm really good, actually, to get in contact with you again. So how often are your classes run? You say they're on a monthly basis, so if they wanted to find out more about your classes, what's the best way that people can find out more about them?
Well, at the moment, the classes run on every first Thursday of the month, and the venue is Ugly Bread Bakery, which is Nottingham City Centre. But there's two of them now,
There is
so
two now, isn't there? I was going to say, which one is it? I'm thinking mentally it's the one near opposite the Sainsbury's.
the one. No, see,
No, it's
that's
the other
the
one.
old one. There's a new one now, which is Market Street, and it's opposite. It's called Revolution de Cuba. I've never been there, but it's the
I
Cuban
actually
way.
was there last Monday.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Revolution de Cuba, it's a Cuban restaurant, DJ bar. Actually, I went in there actually because my friend is a DJ, he's a music producer, and it was his a leaving party for one of his friends. And actually, actually he's a music producer. He has a kind of lot of the same line of thoughts as you do about how to network, how to communicate, how to project, how to understand the music industry and stuff. And he's kind of in that kind of ground position that you are. So I can see that kind of kindred spirit what you're saying with him.
Oh, that's
So yeah,
great.
that's the place from opposite. So.
And then at the moment we just do an hour because originally I started off with 2 hours, but it's actually quite exhausting if you're not used to it, and people are getting really, really tired. And then I dropped down to an hour and a half, and I was still having people after an hour say, I mean, it's weird because they said they felt more energized, but because the breathing exercises and the stretches are quite physical. People just fed back to me that an hour was enough. So what we do now is we do 11 till 12 doing all the breathing activities and the stretches and that kind of thing. Then we actually have lunch at Ugly Bread Bakery and have like a little bit of a social. So I have people from all walks of life, different businesses, and it's actually a great networking as well. So if you come to the workshop, you can network after. So it's like a two in one.
Dude, that is fantastic. It really is. So, Ugly Bird Bakery, it's the one on Market Street, and therefore it's 11 till 12, is what you
11
said?
till
So,
12, yeah.
this is middle of the day, so a lot of people can do this, in their lunch break potentially, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I get that it's slightly early for a lunch break and it's difficult for people who work, but I am about to be launching some evening workshops in a range of different venues, just kind of trialing them out for, people who do a typical 9 to 5.
I don't
And the
know many of
best way
those
to
people.
find out about them is my Facebook page, which is Lorna Poole Music. So Lorna, Lorna Poole, Powole, and then music. So if you
No.
find that on Facebook, you'll be able to read about the evening workshops and
So
see
that's
if that.
Lorna Poole Music, and that's a Facebook page, and that's got all the contact details and the venue's information as well.
Oh, I should probably point out as well, at the moment I'm doing the workshops at a really, really low rate because I really feel like this is something that everyone should know so they can benefit. So I'm actually doing the workshops at £6 for the hour,
Oh,
and considering the
fantastic.
British voice workshop was 50,
That's a huge difference, isn't it? So obviously you've got your professional coaching, and then you can pass that message on to the lay people that he's asked really for £5. That is it £6, you say? Six. My
Six,
apologies. My apologies. £6 it is.
No, it's
But that is a
fine.
fantastic rate compared to £50. And
Yes.
how can you go wrong with that? Particularly if you're getting something out of it, and your personal networking as well. So
Yeah.
I'm gonna hope to come along as quick as I can, as soon as I can, because I know you invited me last week. My work shift on a Thursday. I'm usually working from like 10 till 10, which is a horrible shift. But
Yeah,
I've
maybe one
got,
of the evenings.
however, I do have like next week coming up off of the week from the October the 19th through the 26th. So I'm gonna make sure I come down and enjoy and give you feedback on that. So that should be fantastic.
Great, thanks.
So Lorna, we should draw this conversation here to a close. But thank you very much for taking the time out to join me here today. Curious World is an interesting podcast, and my aim really with it is, as much like yourself, is to communicate ideas, thoughts, inspiration. Talk to a lot of different people I know, and the people beyond that, to have interesting discussion, and actually to go away with something that you can be inspired by. So thank you very much, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come here today.
But yeah, thanks for inviting me on. It's been really great to chat with you. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for taking the time out to join me here today. I really do appreciate it. But if I could just ask one more thing of you, you could just press like, dislike, leave a comment, or press subscribe. You could do any on all of those things, but it allows me to know whether I'm producing the kind of content that you want to listen to. I do produce a variety of content, especially on YouTube and out into the world of social media. So please, if you would, thank you very much. I'm Christian Lander. Until next time.